ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Others in authority, scholars and stuff, come against those who are teaching with authority, who believe what the scriptures say. They don't like it, but that's not my problem, is it? Not at all. And because some don't have the fancy degree, how could you be teaching? That was one of the things when I first came up here. Some of the people I knew, family members, like, well, how could he be a pastor? He hasn't gone to school. Hey, I can't take any credit. It's God. And that was the thing I told you before. I tried when I was back in Illinois. I knew what God called me to do, to be a pastor in Wisconsin one day. I knew it. So what's the logical thing to do from a human perspective was to go take some Bible classes. So I went to Bible school. I sat down with the counselor because I was working and I was at the church, I was assistant pastor and all. And I said, I just want to take one class. What do you have for me? And here's my schedule. He goes, I've never had this happen. There's no classes that fit with not even one class for your schedule. I'm like, well, that's ridiculous. And I left, and I have to admit, I was a little mad. I'm like, God, how do you want me to be a pastor if you can't even take a Bible class? And you know how God speaks to you? It's not like there's audible voices. I don't have voices in my head, but I know when God speaks. And he clearly said, I don't want you to have a degree that you could put on the wall and point to, and I'm going to teach. Okay. Did any of the disciples go to Old Rabbi University? No. Isn't that interesting? They were many fishermen, tax collectors, zealots. They were not like the good guys. They were looked down upon. And remember when Peter and John were arrested, the Jewish religious leaders had put them in jail, and they beat them, and when they were going to release them, they wanted to talk to them. And they were kind of bewildered by these guys, Peter and John. And Luke tells us, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. How would you like that one, huh? Uneducated, untrained. You have no qualifications. Exactly. Exactly. But then it says in the last part of Acts 4:13, they realized that they had been with Jesus. Isn't that amazing? It's so simple, and yet people missed it. The Living Bible, listen to how the Living Bible puts this. When the council saw the boldness in Peter and John and could see that they were obviously uneducated, non-professionals, they were amazed and realized what being with Jesus had done with them. Did you understand that? Being with Jesus, spending time with him, and you will be amazed at what God will show you, the things he will teach you, as you just spend time with him. We also have on the other end of the spectrum, people say that they're speaking with the authority of God. And when you hear what they have to say, you go, I don't think so. And that seems kind of harsh. How could you say that they didn't hear from God? Well, here's the thing. If what they're saying God said to them is contrary to what this Bible has to say, they're wrong. It's as simple as that. Now, there are lots of things that people say God said to me, you know, to do this or not do that. And that's between them and God. But clearly, if someone says, you know, God spoke to me and said, you know, hey, you can come to God any way you want, I can tell them for certain you're listening to the wrong God. You're listening to the devil. These are doctrines of demons that you have. They're not of God because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through him. Period. Exclamation mark. Whatever you want to put there. Some will tell you, and I've had many people tell me this, you know, God's bigger than his word, and thus he can tell us anything he wants. That's a dangerous line of reasoning. Here's the thing that really clinches it for me. Psalm 138:2. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. Now, many read that and they don't think much about it. But God is saying, I have placed my word above my name. What does it mean? His name means of his character, the sum total of all that he is. You can tell a person's character by how faithful they are to their word. So that means if God has said things in here and they're not true, then he's meaningless. His name is, his character is worthless. But again, his word is truth. And so we have to remember that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We got to boldly proclaim the word of God because it's truth. And I like how Jesus handles the Jewish religious leaders mocking him. They obviously wanted to honor God the Father. That was a real passion. One of my friends, he's Jewish and is a Christian now, but he said when he was growing up, the passion of his life was to honor the Father in everything he did. And Jesus understands that. And he challenges them, look, if you want to honor the Father, then you better listen to me. Because if you don't listen to me, you're not honoring the Father. It's as simple as that. These guys were not interested in the truth. These Jewish religious leaders wanted the attention. They, you know, wanted the chief seats at the gatherings. They wanted people to notice them. And Jesus says, look, I'm not here to glorify myself. I'm here to glorify the Father who's in heaven. So look at the contrast. And Jesus said that what he does was righteous, without sin. No unrighteousness is in him in verse 18. And then he tells the Jewish religious leaders, did not Moses give you the law? And yet none of you keeps the law. Ow! Right? That kind of, you know, we read that, we don't think much about it, but these guys were very proud about keeping the law. Jesus says, hey, wake up, man. You want to honor the Father, you think you're keeping the law, you have missed it by a million miles. And it's not just a matter of the outward action. It's a matter of the heart, and Jesus talked about that. If you lust after a woman in your heart, you've already committed adultery. If you think evil of a person, you murdered them. No one could keep the law perfectly except for Jesus. And really, that's the whole point of the law. The law was to drive us to the Savior. It was to show us our failures. None of us are good. And I realize, you know, human nature, the flesh, we go, well, you know, I'm better than so-and-so. Well, who cares? You know, I'm better than Jeffrey Dahmer. What does that mean, right? It's absolutely worthless when I compare myself to Almighty God, who is perfect. There is no darkness in him at all, none. And they put the law on people and made it a heavy burden. Do this, don't do that. I think they had, like I said, I think it was like three chapters on how to wash pots and pans. Now, you know, my wife is a saint because I give her a hard time. Oh, Julie, that's not the right way to put dishes in the dishwasher. Like there is a right way. You know what I mean? There is definitely a way, right way, though, for the toilet paper to be put on the holder. There is definitely. It goes from the top. I'm just saying. That one I'm 100% sure on. But again, that's what they were doing. All these laws. And even on the Sabbath day, it was such a heavy burden. Jesus came to set them free. The law put them in bondage. The law doesn't give us life. The Spirit does. And Jesus said, look, you know, you're seeking to kill me. The multitudes, for the most part, didn't really understand that. And keep in mind, there's a lot of Jewish people that came from outside of Jerusalem for this feast. The people in Jerusalem, as we're going to see, didn't understand what the Jewish religious leaders wanted to do. They wanted to kill Jesus. But I think these other Jews that came from other areas, they didn't see that. And we'll see that as we read on. Now, why did they want him dead? Well, we talked about this before in our studies, but because he healed the man on a Sabbath day, which was not kosher, and he being a man made himself equal with God, which was not kosher at all. They wanted to stone him to death, which was the penalty for blasphemy like that. And Jesus, again, is nailing them here, and they're upset. Why are they upset? Because he did a good deed on the Sabbath. And we're going to see, when we get to verse 22, that they did circumcision on the Sabbath day. Isn't that interesting? Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath day. Oh, you can't do that. And yet, he circumcised on the Sabbath day. If it happened to fall on the eighth day, that's when they would do it. The law brings about death. The Spirit brings life. The Jewish religious leaders, no doubt, rejected Jesus and they mocked him. One writer said the Jews were amazed at what he taught because he did not have any credentials from their approved rabbinical schools. But since he lacked this proper accreditation, his enemy said that his teachings were nothing but private opinions and not worth much. Which is so interesting because didn't he just quote scripture? But they didn't like that. Well, we'll look at this next group of people who came to Jerusalem. These are from outside the area. Look at verse 20. Then the people answered and said, "You have a demon. Who is seeking to kill you?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "I did one work, and you all marvel. Moses therefore gave you circumcision, not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry with me because I made a man completely well on the Sabbath? Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." Isn't it interesting? These people, again, I don't believe they lived in Jerusalem outside, and they traveled there for the Feast of Tabernacles, and they said, "Why do you seek?" They're responding to what Jesus said, "Why do you seek to kill me?" Now, think about it. Jesus is basically telling them, "Look, I stand before you sinless, and yet none of you even keep the law. I fulfill the law, you've broken the law. And saying that, why are you seeking to kill me? I'm not guilty of breaking the law, but you are, and you guys deserve death." And their response was basically, "You have a demon. Who's seeking to kill you?" Now, I don't think they heard about the plot to kill Jesus by these Jewish religious leaders, because they were outside the area. And they thought he was demon-possessed, maybe even paranoid. But what was the reality? They were plotting to kill him. That was the reality. They came to the wrong conclusion. And we have to be careful. It's easy to see a situation and come to the wrong conclusion. I think I shared this with you before about a picture on Facebook as this dog with its teeth around the neck of a sheep. It looked like Manny's is going to bite his head off. And what an evil dog. Cruel. That dog should be shot. Put to death. And then the rest of the story. As you get a wider picture, the dog is pulling the sheep out of the river where it was drowning. You see, that's misinformation. We came to a conclusion based on something that we didn't see the full picture. Jesus said in verse 24, "Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." That is so important. People today mostly judge by appearance, how the situation looks, how they feel about it. And it's not always a good way to judge. I learned this lesson several years back. You may remember the story. It was from 2012. Trayvon Martin, who was killed by a man who said he was protecting his neighborhood. The shooting of this teen was in self-defense. And then the picture that they showed of Trayvon Martin was this young boy. I don't think he even weighed 100 pounds. He was just a little kid. And the guy who did the killing said it was self-defense. He outweighed this kid 75, 100, maybe more pounds than that. When you look at the picture of the boy and you look at the picture of this man. And my wife, my lovely wife, said that this teenager was at fault. And I argued with her, there's no way he could have overpowered this guy. I mean, look at the picture. Come on, Julie. And I was shocked by her lack of compassion and unchristian attitude. You know I'm in trouble, right?
Yep.
She was totally right. Why? Because I didn't have the full picture. The picture they showed over and over again on television and newspapers and other news sources wasn't recent. In fact, they wouldn't even tell you when it was from. All they said was an undated family photo of Trayvon Martin. It was probably taken when he was 12 years old. When you see pictures when he was 17 and his muscles and how big he was, this wasn't this young kid. This was a big kid. And I didn't have the whole story. And I learned, don't argue with your wife. That was a side lesson I learned. I'm still learning that, right there? Yeah, I'm still learning. But it's hard. It's hard. But the lesson I learned is don't judge by appearance. Get the full story. It's really easy to jump on something and then you find out, oh my gosh, I'm totally wrong. We have to be careful. The news media was trying to deceive us, get us to believe this was a little kid and wasn't even close. That's not a righteous judgment when we look at things like that. When we judge things, we can't judge them by how we feel or what we think, not by appearance. Judge by the total picture and also according to what does God's word say about that situation? I think these people who came to Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles were judging by appearance. And they came to the wrong conclusion. If they would have listened to what Jesus was teaching and check it out with the scriptures, they would have seen he spoke the truth. There was no demon in him. He wasn't paranoid. He knew exactly what was happening. But they rejected him by an unrighteous judgment. And I like what he says. He said that they're upset because he did one good deed on the Sabbath, healing a man, and yet they circumcise on the Sabbath, like I said, all the time. And it's really not, they don't even think about it. It's not an issue for them. Isn't it funny how we can condemn others for their sins and then we have no problem with what we're doing? And what they were doing wasn't a sin. They were following what the law said, circumcised on the eighth day. And again, Moses didn't institute circumcision. Who was it issued to? Abraham. Abraham was told. On the eighth day, the male child was to be circumcised. And like I said, it could fall on the Sabbath day. And in their minds, it was okay to mutilate flesh, but to heal a person on the Sabbath day, oh, you can't do that. That's evil. That's bad. Come on, guys. Where do you get that from? And we still deal with that today. You know, oh, you have to go to church to be saved. If you don't go to church, you're not saved. Well, you know, I think we are to go to church because we need the fellowship. We need that. God said, you know, that we need each other. Paul in Hebrews 10:24 and 25. Don't forsake the assembling of the brethren together. We need that. Or you have to go through Mary to get saved because, you know, God listens to his mother. Well, you know, or Jesus paid for certain sins, you know, and you have to atone for your own sins by doing the sacraments and going to purgatory. Are you kidding? You know what purgatory is? It's hell. Because Jesus is the only way. He paid for our sins. Paul said in 1 Timothy 2, there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. There it is. One mediator between God and man. It's Jesus Christ. I don't need anyone else. I don't have to do anything else but receive him, repent of my sins, and receive him into my life as Lord and Savior. Jesus said on the cross of Calvary, it is finished, paid in full. When he was taken up into heaven, he sat down at the right hand of the Father because the work was completed. All our sins were paid for by Jesus. But how many people negate the scriptures and believe the traditions of man? Many people do that. They'll follow a man instead of the word of God. That's exactly what these guys were doing. The Jewish people and the Jewish religious leaders. They were following the words of man instead of the words of God. So the people who came to Jerusalem mocked Jesus, said that he had a demon. And here's another group, the Jews from Jerusalem. Look at verse 25 here in John 7. Then some of them from Jerusalem said, is this not he whom they seek to kill? But look, he speaks boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is truly the Christ? However, we know where this man is from, but when the Christ comes, no one knows where he is from. Then Jesus cried out as he taught in the temple, saying, you both know me, and you know where I'm from, and I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know. But I know him, for I am from him, and he sent me. Now, here's the difference between the Jews who lived outside of Jerusalem and came to this feast and those who lived in Jerusalem. They understood that there was a plot by the religious leaders to kill Jesus. Isn't that interesting? You know, you would think some of the people, these Jews, who were hearing that go, wow, why do they want to kill him, right? And that's kind of what we see here, you know. He speaks boldly and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers believe that he's the Christ? Well, then if there's something against him, why don't they just put him to death? Well, because his time hadn't come yet. But it's interesting. Jesus spent a lot of time in the area of Galilee because of all the turmoil in Jerusalem that they wanted him dead, and it wasn't his time yet. And the Jews here in Jerusalem, who lived in Jerusalem, they're confused by what they saw. Jesus is teaching boldly. Here's the Jewish religious leaders who wanted him dead, and they did nothing. So these guys are, the Jews are confused. Why didn't they arrest him? Are we missing something? Is he the Christ? But then they say, however, we know where this man is from. But when the Christ comes, no one knows where he's from. Many of them maybe knew of him when he was growing up, when he was a little boy. When he came to the temple, they may have saw him. So they knew where he was from. And they came up with the idea, when the Messiah comes, no one knows where he's going to come from. Well, that's the most ridiculous thing in the world, because if you look at what the scriptures say, they tell him, this child's going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. They know exactly where he's going to come from, the lineage of David. So how did they get to that? Well, there's a Isaiah 53:8. I don't get how they get this. They misinterpret it. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? They say that that's speaking of the fact that they didn't know where the Messiah was coming from. Well, who said that? That makes no sense. It's interesting how people come up with things, ideas, and they end up becoming traditions within the church. You know, for us, I guess the obvious one is, you know, we have service on a Friday for Jesus' death, right? Was he crucified on a Friday? I don't think so. Why do we do it? It's a tradition. Is it a bad thing? No, that's probably not a big deal. Because, you know, we can worship God any day of the week. It doesn't really matter. And if you have your service on a Friday, Good Friday, hey, praise God. That's what we do. We know he rose on a Sunday. Traditions, though, can become dangerous. They can lead you away from God, and we have to be careful. I'm not coming against tradition, because sometimes traditions are good because they're according to the Bible. But when we start adding things, that's where it gets really dangerous. Tripo, he's a Jewish opponent of the second century Christian apologist Justin Martyr, and he said to Justin, "But Christ, if he has indeed been born and exists anywhere, is unknown and does not even know himself. And he has no power until Elias has come to anoint him and make him manifest to all." When Jesus was old enough to go into the temple, when they came up, his whole family came up, where was he? He was teaching the Jewish religious leaders. Did he know who he was? Did he know what his mission was about? I think so. I absolutely think so. But again, some of the stuff becomes tradition. There's books out there about Jesus when he was a boy. Are you kidding me? Can you show me in the scriptures any of that? Or where did you get that from? We have to be careful. We are, again, 6 months from the cross. And for Jesus, he is totally focused on completing his mission. I like that about Jesus. You can ask my wife, if I set out to do something, I'm going to do it. I don't care if I have to hobble along to do it. I'm going to get it done. Drives her crazy. But you know what? Jesus knew what he was to do, and he set his face to go to Jerusalem to do the work that he was called to do. These crowds were so confused. Why? Why were they confused? Because they were listening to what everyone was saying instead of what God was saying. And you'll get so confused. Go start looking on the internet. Look up something about COVID and see the myriad of different things you will find by very intelligent people, scholars. They have all these degrees and stuff. And you can go anywhere from this point all the way to this point and everything in between, and you can find it on the internet. And you can be totally confused. That's why I don't do it. I spend my time here because this is the truth. And God's not going to lead me astray. And I'm not going to listen to what others are going to say. Well, I do, you know, but I always compare what others say to the Word of God. And that's what we need to do. And you know right away where someone is coming from by what they end up saying. We have to be careful because, especially with social media today, there's so many confusing things out there. I dealt with a man, oh, it's been a couple of years, and I know him. I mean, he's a Christian brother, but he was getting into the Christian spiritualism, really bizarre stuff. And I called him on it. He put something up about, you know, how great the Pope is, you know, look at this man. And I said, do you realize his view of how to get to heaven is far different from our view. He just said, thanks. Which is pretty much to say, hey, go away, don't bother me. But that's sad. You try to encourage people to get back, but all of a sudden you see them going astray. Why? Because they're deviating from this. Jesus spoke very openly to them. He knew who he was, Almighty God who came to save them from their sins. And they rejected him. They mocked him.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.